happens. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. While some FAA workers have gotten termination notices, Elon Musk's team is planning to look at air traffic control systems today for updating. CBS's Willie James Inman.
The FAA and air traffic controllers are using some outdated, antiquated equipment. They're going to talk to some of the air traffic controllers, learn about what the controllers like and dislike about the tools that they're using.
Life-threatening cold is gripping much of the nation's midsection. The South is recovering from floods over the weekend. 11 people died in Kentucky. Governor Andy Beshear.
We believe we have reached many, if not most, people that got trapped because.
Francis is hospitalized in Rome with a bronchial infection, which the Vatican calls complex. Dr. Celine Gounder.
Polymicrobial basically means that you have some combination of bacteria, viruses, and or fungi in the lungs.
CBS News Brief. I'm Cammie McCormick.
James here, host of Unlabeled, your 90s mixtape, every Sunday from 8 to 9 on WFHR. It's your weekly dose of music, nostalgia, and pop culture exclusively on locally grown radio.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. A Northeast Wisconsin representative is supporting legislation that will allow clerks and election officials to process absentee ballots the day before the election. Lisa Hale has more.
Ahmad Rivera Wagner of Green Bay said the bill attempts to make things easier and faster on Election Day.
I am very hopeful that there is bipartisan support for clerks to process absentee ballots, process, not count them early, which will take hours off of central count processes, allowing us to have early nights on Election Day versus them being late in the morning because of the amount of both Republicans and Democrats voting absentee ballot now.
Rivera Wagner said it can take over 4 hours just to open envelopes containing absentee ballots, which leads to long nights and late returns.
Tariffs and trade disputes can affect us in many ways here in Wisconsin. Here's Brittany Merlot.
First off, several steel shipments arrive at the port of Milwaukee, which are destined for Wisconsin businesses. The new steel tariff will increase costs on these businesses by 25%. We are also a significant exporter of soybeans. Retaliatory tariffs on the U.S. exports could negatively affect our soybean farmers. And the state still exports over $10 billion in manufactured goods. These producers are doubly hit as they will face the steel tariffs as well as the retaliatory export tariffs. The Libertarian Party of Wisconsin believes that free trade is fair trade and that trade wars only hurt consumers.
There will be a listening session on Friday in Wisconsin Rapids with local representatives. Senator Patrick Teston and Representative Scott Krug will be at McMillan Library on February 21st from noon to 1. At 2 p.m., Representative Krug will be at the Rome Town Hall. The following Friday, he will be in Adams and Nisida. I'm Melissa Kay for WFHR and WIRI News.
The Badgers get national attention. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Men's college basketball, the Wisconsin Badgers making national headlines after their upset win at Purdue 94-84. Are they poised for a higher seed in the tournament when the selection committee meets next month? Head coach Greg Gard.
We got a lot of basketball left to play before that day comes, so that's great. That means we got the attention of people, right? We're obviously playing good basketball. We're a really good team, and I think we're getting better. And that's the exciting part, that they know there's a lot more left to come. And, you know, that starts with, you know, our next game.
And the Badgers women's team with a win at Penn State yesterday, 75-68. They'll host Northwestern on Sunday afternoon. Baseball spring training underway. The Brewers' Christian Yelich asked how's he doing after that season-ending back surgery last summer.
Yeah, I feel fine. I don't see any reason why I wouldn't be ready for opening day.
That's the Brewers' Christian Yelich. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
Sunny and brutally cold, with high temperatures today trying to reach the single digits and wind chills smacking us back, making us really feel about 20 degrees colder. With gusty winds, it's prompted a cold weather advisory until noon. Stay warm. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Right now, it's 2 degrees below zero.
The excitement.
Oh, he stones front
Gostinski with a glove save.
The energy.
What's he going to do? He shoots and he scores.
The tradition.
You've got to understand history if you're ever going to write your own.
It's everything.
He scores. Badgers answer right back.
This is your radio home for Wisconsin Badger hockey.
Sponsored by Johnson & Sons Chrysler Jeep, Econ Electric, and 8th Street Auto. Listen on 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR, streaming live and on the Civic Media app.
Are you prepared for an emergency or disaster? Because it's not a matter of if, but when. Don't find yourself saying,
when the storm rolls in, my time to find a pet-friendly evacuation center will have run out.
The scorching heat wave will leave me powerless to cool my insulin.
I'll face a hurricane without meds. Now that's a tough pill to swallow.
Let's prepare so we all have a better story to tell. Get started at ready.gov/olderadults. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Jane Mattenair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, many Democrats wondering, what are our elected officials doing to push back? Representative Mark Pocan joins us. We'll ask. Don't miss it.
Mattenair on air. Weekday mornings at 10. This is locally grown radio, WFHR.
Live from the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Albaugh Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Albaugh.
Across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network. And streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everybody. I'm Todd Albaugh, along with our producer engineer for the day, Mr. Sam Davidson on the board. It is 6 past the hour of 12 noon on this Monday, February 16th, 2025. It is a great day to be a Wisconsinite. It is sunny but chilly. Welcome, everyone, from downtown Madison. Sam Davidson, 2 days in a row, lucky for me, I'm not sure what you did to deserve this, but we're happy to have you here.
I'm happy to be here still.
Mr. Zomer's feeling a little under the weather today.
Yeah, that's
so you
right.
were kind enough to come in today on, and I did not, I mean, I knew it was President's Day, but I came in earlier and I said to Lukester, Luke Mathers, I said, what the heck? Everybody's gone today.
Yeah, I was a little surprised.
And he says, well, Todd, it's President's Day. It's a company holiday. I said, really? Really? I did not know that we got President's Day off. I'm happy, but I'm sorry to make you come in. I mean, you were here earlier for the Johnny Gordy show.
I left like a little before 10 o'clock, so.
And then you said.
And then I came right back.
And then you're like, oh, crap. Now you work early in the morning, so
that's right.
Do you traditionally, after you get off, do you have breakfast then, or what is your routine normally during this time of the day?
I don't really have a routine. I don't know. It just kind of varies. Mm-hmm. Day to day. I eat breakfast like when I wake up at 5 o'clock in the morning or whatever. Wow. So
all right. Well, I appreciate you coming in. Glad to have you here. And a shout out to Mr. Zomers. Hopefully he'll be feeling soon and back with us very soon. But always in the very capable hands of Mr. Davidson. So glad to have you along here on a Monday. And all of you as well. Big show today. It's gotten to the point now over the weekend as I keep track of the news. I feel like we're not, of course. But I feel like if they wanted another hour or two, we could just go for three or four hours because there's so much going on. So we'll go through some of the headlines of the weekend. And then at the bottom of this hour, we're going to be talking a little bit about the spring election. Yes, that's right. Go to the polls tomorrow if you have not voted early already. Polls open at 7 a.m. tomorrow until 8 p.m. Biggest race on the ballot statewide is that of the state school superintendent. The incumbent, Dr. Jill Underley, is being challenged by a fellow Democrat in Jeff Wright, who has been on this program before, and also Republican-backed candidate Brittany Kinzer. Underley, of course, the incumbent in the DPI secretary position. Jeff Wright, the current superintendent of public instruction at the Sauk Prairie School District, for those that might not be from the area. It's just south of Wisconsin Dells, so southwest, south central, depending upon what you call that part of the state. But, Wright's been on the program before, has talked about that while he is a Democrat, he has had to work with both Republicans, Democrats, and independents at Sauk Prairie. It's a very purple county, Sauk County is. So he has that experience, and so that's why he is coming and wanting this position to work with everybody in the DPI role. And then on the Republican side, Brittany Kinzer, who is a education consultant being backed by Robin Voss and a lot of the private school folks. And so it has to come down to two. Now, technically, yes, this is a nonpartisan position, but last 20 plus years or so, this position, as well as those on the Wisconsin State Supreme Court, while technically they don't run as Republicans or Democrats, basically, you know, they become partisanized and both sides end up putting money into the race. So anyway, it'll be Underly, Wright, and Kinzer on the ballot for tomorrow. Two of the three move on to the April 1st general election. So we're going to preview that race after the bottom of the hour here in hour one. Also, there's a big mayor's primary race up in La Crosse. Our own Jimmy Cuskell will be following that. And come on back tomorrow night as well, as I'll be anchoring along with our Dan Schaefer, political editor here at Civic Media, at a cast of thousands. I understand that our own Earl Ingram will be on the broadcast as well, and others, and we'll be doing a couple of things, kind of lost in the shuffle. Governor Tony Evers giving his annual budget address tomorrow night. Now, this is different than the state of the state. The budget address is more of a technical speech that talks about finances. The governor offers his version of the budget. Remember, Wisconsin only has every other year is a biennial budget. So they pass it for a two-year period. This year is that that year. So the governor starts off with his budget address and has first possession, has the ball first on the field, so to speak. And then the legislature will have their joint finance committee hearings, and they will formulate a budget, and then the legislature passes their version, governor has his version, and then they have to come to a consensus. If they cannot, in Wisconsin, what happens if they can't pass a budget by the end of the summer, the previous budget just goes back into effect. So the government doesn't shut down like it does out in D.C., but there are no increases. On the other hand, no decreases. It just continues on the way it is. So anyway, that all kicks off tomorrow night at 7 o'clock. We'll kick off our coverage around 10 till the hour of 7. So I hope you join us for that. And then stick around as Luke's going to bring in a keg. Not really, but he'll have non-alcoholic beverages, and we'll be here throughout the evening to bring you the results of election night. The Wisconsin Decides 2025 all tomorrow night, beginning at 10 till 7 on the Civic Media Radio Network. However, if you're saying, well, Todd, I'm looking forward to the big Badger basketball game tomorrow night, Illinois at the Kohl Center, have no fear, because those stations that normally carry Badger basketball will do that. So we're only on the network stations tomorrow night that don't carry Badger basketball. And of course, you can find all the broadcast on the Civic Media app or at the website at civicmedia.us. So we got that to talk about as well. Speaking of the Badger basketball team, Sam, you're a Badger alum. Your Wisconsin Badgers, huge win this weekend at Purdue.
That's good to hear. I'm not very in tune with sports, and especially basketball, but glad to hear the Badgers are doing well.
It was a big, big game. Because yeah. Purdue, I think, was number 7 in the country and ahead of the Badgers in the net rankings. Mm-hmm. And the NCAA now, they come out starting now until Selection Sunday, which I think is like March 12th or so. They have a weekly now update of the top 16 teams. And Wisconsin was kind of predicted to be a 4 seed, and the results came out yesterday. They're a 3 seed.
Ooh.
And Purdue was a 2. Mm. So the thinking is now that maybe, you know, Wisconsin might be in line for maybe a 2 seed if they could keep this going on. But a big game tonight against Illinois. We'll get into this later, but Illinois retired a jersey of one of their former players last night or this weekend.
Oh, yeah?
Down at Champaign. Hmm. It's funny, but it's not. They the whole place is packed, and they raised the banner. Mm-hmm. But unlike when I was there the night they did it for Kaminsky for Wisconsin, in Wisconsin they have the banner like, I don't know how to, like in a box almost on the floor of the Kohl Center, and then it's attached to wires or whatever and the bar, and then they raise it. They literally raise it from the box into the rafters, mm-hmm. and so you see it right away. Well, what Illinois decided to do, and again, Illinois is always a little backward in my opinion, but what Illinois decided to do is they decided to raise the thing, but kind of like all rolled up, and then push a button and drop it. Exactly. Uh-huh. And so they've got the thing raised, but not open. And they announce it, and the lights are off, the spotlight, and this poor kid or man who's having his jersey retired, they announce it, and they drop it, and the thing is upside down.
Oh, no.
Upside down. No. Yes.
Somebody got fired for
that.
I mean, that
is the quintessential, you had one job.
Right.
I couldn't believe it. It was so bad that the athletic director came out after the game before the coach spoke and did like a 3-minute apology. Oh, and, no. And to your point, he came just shy of saying the words, somebody will be fired for this.
Yeah.
As well they should, quite frankly.
Yeah, yeah. I'd be pretty upset if that was... If that was me and my number was getting retired.
I know. So we'll talk more about. We have there was a big call by the officiating crew in this Wisconsin game. Kamari McGee, a great player, got a flagrant 2 and got ejected. And we'll talk about that and why it was an absolutely. And I'm not just saying this because I'm a Wisconsin fan. There were a lot of Purdue fans on social during the game that said, "Look, we're Purdue fans. You guys got hosed." But Badgers came back and got a big win. They play at the Kohl Center against Illinois tomorrow night. We'll have that on select Civic Media stations as well. But where we're going to begin, before we get into actual newsy news, do we have time for the Adam Sandler clip now, or do you want to do it when we come back?
Maybe when we come back.
When we come back. Are you a big SNL Saturday Night Live fan, Sam?
I like it. I don't watch it a ton, but yeah. I like watching clips of it, yeah.
I really grew up on it, and I guess, you know, I'm 55, and the show is turned 50 years old last night. And so they had a special Sunday night edition of Saturday Night Live. I think it was live in New York. It was 3 hours or just a little over that. And I found it to be largely fantastic. A lot of the old cast members, Steve Martin, Martin Short, Will Ferrell, all kinds of people who either were on the show as cast members or longtime regular guest hosts. Tom Hanks was there in person. Meryl Streep, who had never been on the show before, made her first appearance in a sketch. So that was really, really funny.
Yeah.
So that was great. And then Jack Nicholson, great actor, mm-hmm. who of course is essentially retired from acting, hasn't been in anything in years, and has kind of just decided to, which is his right, just to not be in public very much. There was Jack last night at the appearance in a kind of a beret and his trademark sunglasses. Yeah,
come out to see the show.
He came out to see it, and he introduced Adam Sandler, who of course was a longtime cast member, has come back as a guest host, and he's also a musician, mm-hmm. and he wrote the kind of the classic song, Put on Your Yarmulke, Have a Happy Hanukkah, and other great Saturday Night Live comedic sketches, songs like that. We put together a medley of for SNL's 50th anniversary, and of course the great Lorne Michaels, who has been the executive producer and at the helm of the show for 45 plus years.
Yeah, since the beginning.
Yeah, right? he's been around since the beginning, and I believe executive producer for 45 plus of the 50 years. He really is SNL, and so Adam Sandler put together a medley. We're going to play a little bit of that when we come back. Also, hear some political news as well. Former Republican, National Republican Chairman Michael Steele, giving Democrats something to chew on. He's basically ticked off that Democrats aren't as ticked off as him. We'll bring you that cut from Michael Steele, giving Democrats a little advice. Also, former Republican David Brooks on Trump's purge of federal workers, your phone calls, and more. It's the Todd L. Bowles Show for Monday, along with Sam on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Locally grown radio, WFHR.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. In September 2024, Arizona Secretary of State Adrian Fontes announced an error in state voter rolls involving 97,000 voters, revolving around a state DMV data error. The number has risen to nearly 200,000, and an easy fix still hasn't been found. In 1996, Arizona began requiring proof of citizenship when obtaining a driver's license. Since 2005, election officials have asked registered voters with licenses issued before 1996 for proof of citizenship. But if a driver's license issued before 1996 needed to be replaced, it was accidentally given a new date of issue, and election officials never knew to ask for citizenship documents. VoteBeat Arizona and the Arizona Mirror report that the investigation is ongoing, but that the number affected has now ballooned to 200,000 voters. The Arizona Supreme Court allowed affected voters to vote in November's election, but now the legislature is considering an emergency measure, House Bill 2038, directing election officials to contact the voters and request citizenship documents. If not supplied within 35 days, the voter's status would change to not registered, though voters could reactivate their registration by providing documentation right up to Election Day. After the 2026 general election, those voters would be dropped. We have text of the bill and VoteBeat's reporting linked at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
Hi, this is Beth, your new host for The Kitchen is Open, the award-winning show within the morning show. Each Monday morning at 9 a.m., we'll tackle topics, teach techniques, and tell you what to do or not to do when it comes to cooking or the kitchen. I'll also bring you interviews with local chefs and restaurant owners with insight on what it takes to make it in the food industry. Listen as I work with James, Seth, and others as we learn, laugh, and have fun. The Kitchen is Open. Same kitchen, new host.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR.
Yeah, freedom. Pursuing truth wherever it may lead and having fun doing it. Welcome back to the Tom Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network, along with Sam Davidson on the board, filling in for Mr. Zomers, who is off today. Be back soon. And 21 now past the hour of 12 noon on this Monday, February 17th, 2025. Talk a little bit about, before we get into the serious news of the day, Saturday Night Live, NBC staple, turned 50 years old over the weekend. A great star-studded 50th anniversary performance. Wanted to play you a little bit, and this is kind of halfway into this medley that was written by Adam Sandler, of course, a longtime cast member, a frequent guest host, you know, had, you know, Happy Gilmore and all kinds of other very successful movies over the years, still doing a great job. Came back last night. Here now is a little bit of Adam Sandler, who was introduced by Jack Nicholson last night at this event for SNL, and we'll pick it up just as he's about to start naming off some of those original cast members in this medley form for Saturday Night Live.
50 years of cast members saying, I think our cast is the greatest of all time. But we all know that the first cast was the best. And because of them, we got 4 years of Eddie Murphy, 8 years of Will Forte, 5 years of Jan Hooks and Gilda, 6 of Victoria, 11 of Che. 3 years of Melanie Hutsell, Michael McKean crushed it in 2. 1 of Billy Crystal, 6 of Dennis Miller, 8 of Hartman the Glue. 7 years of Dratch and Wig, 5 years of Terry and Quinn, 4 of Kazurinsky and Klingon, 11 of Armisen, 14 years of Davis and Handy, Schiller and Spiegel. Years of our boy Farley, 5 of our buddy Norm, 50 years of one of us getting to say live from New York, it's Saturday night, 50 years of standing on home base waving goodnight and goodbye, 50 years of the best times of our lives.
All right. Adam Sandler last night at Saturday Night Live's 50th
anniversary. You see it while he was saying that part of it, Sam, all the video right behind him on the screen. And he was in front of the Saturday Night Live band, which Paul Schaefer, who was David Letterman's band leader for a long time. Paul Schaefer, one of his first gigs, was the band leader on Saturday Night Live. That's how Letterman, Letterman started on NBC. Right. And so Letterman kind of stole him from Saturday Night Live to come on late night.
Yeah.
And so Schaefer came back last night to basically conduct the band and the orchestra.
Cool.
Yeah. But I mean, you saw all those people from Eddie Murphy to Chris Rock to, you know, Chris Farley, Madison, Wisconsin native. And it just, wow, the amount of talent that's gone through that show in 50 years is.
It's a machine for the up and coming new actors and actresses.
It really is. And of course, I just love Adam Sandler. So, you know, he makes me smile.
Yeah.
So anyway, maybe you all enjoyed it as well. You can call in with your memories of Saturday Night Live if you want. 855-752-4842. 855-752-4842. Also going on today, of course, today is President's Day. Lots of people have the day off. Sam had planned on it until we asked him to come in and fill in, poor guy. But happy to have him here. So this is interesting. So there is a National Day of Action, National Day of Protest today happening here in Madison and around lots of places, capitals, city halls around the country today, being organized by lots of different people. And this is a moment that people are being encouraged to show up, to peacefully assemble and protest, let their voices be heard, to rise up against what Donald Trump and Elon Musk are doing out in Washington, D.C., as thousands of more people are being laid off or have been laid off over the weekend. Many in institutions that Wisconsinites have come to rely on, such as the United States Department of Agriculture, among other things, Department of Labor, list goes on and on. And I think that from people like me, there might not be a lot of argument on, hey, should we review government agencies and find ways to trim fat, to trim inefficiencies? I'm fine with that. But there is a proper way to do that to make sure you're not throwing out the baby with the bathwater. And I think one of the most telling things, I mean, it's one of those things that's funny, but it's not. I think it was Thursday or Friday, Elon Musk decided to fire a bunch of the people that were in charge of the nuclear codes and didn't realize that they were in charge of the nuclear codes until he fired them. And then when they tried to rehire them back, they couldn't because they didn't have the people's personal emails. They had deleted it already. And so it had to be a scramble. My understanding is at least some of those people now have been brought back. But I mean, you can't horse around with that. I mean, that's not cutting government efficiency. That is irresponsible and putting every American in harm's way. And this is the type of beyond goofiness, irresponsible behavior from Trump and Musk. And so a lot of people are gathering today. We've talked to Trigvi Olsen about this. It's healthy, I think. I've said this before. I'm very privileged. I get to come every day, 5 days a week for 2 hours with a microphone in front of me and tell people what I think, to complain or to be positive. Every one of you out there, listeners, viewers on Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, X, I feel like I've got a family. I've got a group of people I'm talking with about this. But not very few people, as a matter of fact, have the privilege that I do. So I think it's healthy for people to come together today to realize we're not alone, that there are a lot of us out there that feel the same way, and to do it peacefully, without violence, without vandalism, but to let our voices be heard, that we're not going to allow our country, our democracy, to be taken over by people who don't do things the right way, the democratic small d way. There are ways to reform government without having a king simply say, this is the way it's going to be. That was another Trump quote over the weekend. He tweets out basically, you know, when you're helping your country, it's not illegal. I mean, above the rule of law. Anyway, we'll come on back, talk more about this, the weekend's happenings, and also about the state race for superintendent here in Madison, Wisconsin, as a matter of fact. It's the Tahoe Ball Show for Monday on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is locally grown radio, WFHR.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Stephanie Hoff for the Midwest Farm Report, along with you midday on a Monday. Markets are closed for President's Day, but that doesn't mean there's a shortage of farm news this week. We're spending the day with the Wisconsin FFA chapters on Capitol Hill as they ask state lawmakers to increase funding in the state budget for workforce development. That would include more money for the FFA organization to help develop that next generation of workers in the ag industry. You can find coverage of FFA Day on the Hill at Midwest Farm Report on Facebook. In other news today, have you heard of a cheese bar? Hill Valley Dairy is a family-run cheese company from East Troy. They're bringing the farm-to-table experience to Milwaukee with their newest cheese bar. Cheesemaker Ron Henningfield tells us what that entails.
Always with the intention of a place where people could gather around cheese, and with us they could connect with their food or their cheesemaker and the farm, and maybe learn if they wanted to learn something new with us or ask questions about cheese, we were there for them. So our first cheese bar opened up a little over 2 years ago in Lake Geneva, attached to our cheese shop there in Lake Geneva. And then more recently, we opened up our second cheese bar, which is attached to our little cheese factory, which is in the Walker's Point neighborhood in Milwaukee.
Ron Henningfield is the cheesemaker at Hill Valley Dairy, which has opened its newest cheese bar in Milwaukee. I've got more agribusiness news coming your way after this.
Just stop and listen to these great details on our next farm tour. Hi, everybody. I'm PM Yonke, inviting you to join me July 26th through August 4th as we head to the Canadian Rockies, Vancouver, Victoria, as well as agricultural highlights. We'll start in Calgary and visit their expansive Living History Museum. Then it's off to Banff for a guided tour and meet a Mountie. Next, we board a via rail train for phenomenal views of the Canadian Rockies. Once we arrive in Vancouver, we'll enjoy award-winning wines at Lulu Island Winery and also take a ferry to Vancouver Island for a stroll through Bouchard Gardens. We'll learn about farming life on the island during fascinating visits to a bison ranch and a dairy farm. Go to holidayvacations.com, enter keyword PAM to get a brochure or watch a travel show. Again, July 26th through August 4th, join me for our next tour of the Canadian Rockies.
Our top downloaded story last week helps growers figure out which risk management tool would work best for crops this year. April 15th is the deadline for agriculture risk coverage, otherwise known as ARC, and price loss coverage, otherwise known as PLC. Professor Paul Mitchell with the Rank Agribusiness Institute at UW-Madison is leaning toward ARC this year. You can find more details on his decision at our podcast page, MidwestFarmReport.com. I'm Stephanie Hoff.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
Sunny and brutally cold, with high temperatures today trying to reach the single digits and wind chills smacking us back, making us really feel about 20 degrees colder. And by tonight, it's going to be feeling about 30 below. And the frigid cold continues to have a grip on us through tomorrow. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot.
It's zero at our studios.
The Badgers.
Feeds Max, fakes the three, takes the three, left side, yes sir.
Play.
Pivots, fades, flips, good again. Just outside the left elbow.
Here.
Goes up, got it, with the right hand, it counts on a foul.
This is your radio home for Wisconsin Badger basketball.
Brought to you by 8th Street Auto, Econ Electric, and Johnson & Sons Chrysler Jeep. Listen on 97.5 FM, 1320 AM WFHR, streaming live on the Civic Media app.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Marquette University professor and pollster extraordinaire Charles Franklin.
Deporting immigrants who are in the U.S. illegally. 60% support that. But when we ask the same question and just add at the end, including those with jobs and no criminal record, then support drops to just 43%.
Wisconsinites have a sense of fairness.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Chwaba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome Milwaukee film critic Matt Miller and Northeast Wisconsin hip-hop artist and musician Matt Harper joins me in studio. We're going to light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Chwaba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
truth wherever it may lead and having fun doing it. Welcome back to the Tattle Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. 34 minutes now past the hour of 12 noon on this Monday, February 17th, 2025. Glad to have you along. Zomers has the day off. The great late, not the great late, good Lord. The great, wonderful, late, we don't want late, the great Sam Davidson we're borrowing him from the John and Gordy program, which could be heard every morning from 6 until 8 right here on WMDX. And soon to be a teacher of history to our great kids in Wisconsin.
That's right.
Very proud of you for that. That's super cool. We talked about that with Sam a little bit last week. Right now we're talking about, a little bit about the day of protest here happening in Madison and around the country, protesting just the lack of respect for democracy by Donald Trump and Elon Musk. I encourage people, if you want to participate, to do so safely, without vandalism, without harm, but certainly exercise your right to peaceably assemble and have your voice heard. Also go to get into previewing tomorrow's race. Yes, I know it's cold. I know we just got through elections and races. There's another very important primary race tomorrow for every Wisconsinite, the race for Department of Public Instruction Superintendent, Dr. Jill Underley, the incumbent Democrat, being challenged by a fellow Democrat, Jeff Wright, and a conservative Republican, Brittany Kinzer. Two of the three will move on to the April 1st ballot. First of all, let's go to the phone lines, 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. Mark from the SAC. Mark, thanks for calling in. Happy Monday. What's up?
Happy Monday. Yeah, and for, as far as this corruption in government, that as somebody who worked for the state of Wisconsin and spent a good chunk of my career auditing, pre-auditing payments and then auditing, I didn't see a whole lot of waste. I didn't see a whole lot of fraud. I guess one of the big ones I noticed is that some of the communities weren't quite as scrupulous as they should have been as obeying state bidding law, because that's old-fashioned corruption, awarding contracts to your friends and relatives. I can't say if we're relatives or not, but I did notice I couldn't pay out when they didn't follow state bidding law. And I know Scott Walker and Republicans kind of weakened state bidding law when he came into power. And then for the Republican school board, a school superintendent, I wonder if she's going to be as scrupulous in making sure that the private schools and the charter schools actually have to conform to the same standards as public schools, because that's the big beef I have with that. Mm-hmm. Unless they're, you can just say, oh, they're so much better. Well, unless you're testing them, you're not doing the taxpayers any good, because from what I've heard, the outcomes are not any better in the private schools or in the charter schools than they are in the public schools.
Right. No, I appreciate the call, Mark. You bring up a couple of great points. First of all, as someone who served in both the federal and state governments, I think you're absolutely right. In my personal opinion, I saw a lot more waste and opportunities for reform at the federal level than I saw at the state level. I think partly because it's just closer to home. And I think that Wisconsinites tend to be more sensible than people at the federal level. So I think you're absolutely right. I think that's an important distinction, and I appreciate you bringing that up, that there's much less waste and lack of efficiency in state government than there is at the federal government. Doesn't mean it doesn't exist, but just it's certainly to a lesser degree. Most federal employees that I've, and state employees, most federal and state workers, employees that I worked with over the years, most of them were just there because they wanted to help people. Whether it was helping people with an income tax return or be a return that didn't get given to them. Maybe it was Department of Transportation helping a farmer who said, I have to have an access road here and to get my machinery in, to get my crops out. And because I had, a lot of agricultural people now, you're seeing farm families combine. So it's a lot less the man and woman and their five or six kids. And it's much more the brother and sister and cousin coming together to combine an LLC and farm together. That means they're actually buying more land, and it's more efficient for them to buy larger equipment. And so some of these little driveways you see go down into a field along a state road. Well, you can't fit the larger machinery on that access road anymore. And so they want to build an access road. And depending upon where they're at, the state says, well, you know, that's off of a state road and we're not going to allow that by the book. So they call their local legislator. And as a former legislative staffer, I would then call the executive assistant in Department of Transportation. They would work through this and we'd find a way that we could make a waiver, an exception. Maybe the road had to be a quarter mile down the road to make it safer. Maybe DOT had to put some money to make a passageway around that. But you would find a way to do that. That doesn't happen by waving a magic wand. You have to have people there that A, know the law, and the B, will be advocates for the constituents, the people of Wisconsin, to finally get results. That I mean, you could call it a bureaucracy if you want, but that's not inefficient. And I think that that's going to be the big surprise for a lot of folks when things that they rely upon, be it payments or services, simply don't happen anymore. And they say, well, I didn't want that. Well, no, of course you didn't. But that's what we're getting under Trump now and Musk with these purging of people. Thousands of people let go over the weekend, again, seeming to be indiscriminately. And on this race for DPI Secretary, Mark, you're also absolutely right on Jane Mattner and Greg Bach of the great program Mattner on Air, which we're always so very honored that they are our lead-in. You can hear them every morning from 10 until noon. They were talking about this race this morning as well. And to what your point, you know, I come from a family of educators. You're absolutely right. Jane and Greg were right. That our private schools don't have to follow the same rules as our public school systems. A private school doesn't have to take every kid. And many of these kids have physical and emotional challenges, which costs more to hire additional aides to keep them safe and to educate them. Public school can't say, look, that's going to cost us too much. We can't take your kid. Private schools can. So there's lots of, and that's the biggest, probably you're right, Mark. That's one of the big things in this DPI race is that Jill Underly and Jeff Wright both support public education. Brittany Kinzer, being backed by Robert Voss, Republicans and conservative groups, are all about private schools and privatization. 855-752-4842. Let's hear from a great program up front. It's syndicated across Wisconsin. It comes out on WISN television out of Milwaukee. And so up front, sat down with all three of these candidates. I want to give you a couple of clips so you can hear them all in their own words. The primary election is tomorrow. Be a voter, as Luke Mathers likes to say. Find out where your polling place is. Go to myvotewi.gov if you're not sure. You can register same day at the polls. If necessary, be a voter. We're going to start with Dr. Jill Underly, the current incumbent of Superintendent of Public Instructions in Wisconsin.
Why do you think you have two challengers in the race?
Well, I think, you know, you always want to have challengers. I think it's important so you can really hone your message and make sure people are educated as to what the issues are. But yeah, I mean, I'm, you know, it's a primary, so I'm hopeful, you know, people will get out the vote.
The governor hasn't endorsed in this race. He hasn't endorsed you. Should anyone read into that?
Not at all. He didn't endorse the last time either. When I ran in 2021, there was a 7-way primary. I came out on top. He didn't endorse then either. So I assume after this, I hope he does, but if he doesn't, I understand that too. It is a nonpartisan position after all.
I'm curious, what is your lane in this primary to win? Is it trying to siphon votes from supporters of Jill Underly? Are you coming from the same batch of supporters, essentially?
I think my lane is a lot of people that are directly connected to school.
Sorry about that. Sam, I messed up there. So this is, Todd was too poor to pay attention, as my former teacher Ken Lewis is fond of saying. He always used to say, remember, never be so poor that you can't pay attention. So that was Dr. Jill Underly, one of the two Democrats. And now the interviewer is Matt Smith from WISN's Upfront television program in Milwaukee. And now here is Jeff Wright, the superintendent of public instruction in Sauk Prairie in southwest, south central Wisconsin, with Matt Smith on Upfront.
What is your lane in this primary to win? Is it trying to siphon votes from supporters of Jill Underly? Are you coming from the same batch of supporters, essentially?
I think my lane is a lot of people that are directly connected to schools. And so I hope it's a nonpartisan lane.
You're talking about working with Republicans.
Of course. The Republicans have the majority in both the Assembly and the Senate. Like, we need to work with them. And that's the... I'm a superintendent in Sauk County, which is the most purple county in the entire state. And so I can't get anything done in that community without working with Republicans and Democrats, with faith leaders and business leaders. I get to bring them to the table all the time together.
I've heard people say you're...
And now this is, that was Jeff Wright, the superintendent of Sauk Prairie. And so now this is the education advisor being backed by Republicans, Brittany Kinzer, with Matt Smith on Upfront.
I've heard people say you're the conservative candidate in this race. Is that a fair label to put on you?
I feel like everyone's like, what label can we put on her? Yeah. Some people are like, no, she's this, she's that. I'm like, I'm for the kids. Right? And so when I was a principal or a special ed teacher, when I was interviewed, no one ever asked me, well, are you a Democrat or Republican? No, it was, you know, they interviewed me based off of like my skills. If you want to put me in a box, I guess I'm a moderate, but my issue is improving education. And so I will work with anyone, and we have to work with anyone that wants to put kids first.
That was on WISN's Upfront this weekend with Matt Smith. All three candidates there, again, Dr. Underly, Jill Underly, the incumbent Democrat, Jeff Wright, one of the two Democrats as well, Jeff Wright, the superintendent of public schools in Sauk Prairie, and then finally Brittany Kinzer, the conservative candidate there as well. I just for my money, look, I'm not making any outright endorsements here, but Jeff Wright has been on this program. He took time to come on. Really appreciate that. I just like his message. I like his message of working together for our communities, because one of the things, having grown up in Southwest Wisconsin and spending a lot of time over the last couple of years taking this show on the road, if you go and talk to people in their, listen to people, that's a better way to put it. If you listen to people in their communities, very few, if any, people I encountered all over the state. And we were in South Milwaukee and we were in Amory. We were in Hayward and Richland Center. We were in New Glarus and we were in Green Bay. We were in Wausau and, of course, here in Madison. I didn't hear anybody tell me during all those travels, you know, I think my public school really sucks. I think we should get rid of it. I wish we'd consolidate. I don't want to go to any school concerts. I don't want to watch our kids play football. I don't want to go to any forensics tournaments. Nobody said that to me. What I heard people say was, I think there's too much spending in Madison. I think we should be more frugal. I see. That's what people say. It's always somebody else's school district. It's not mine. I want my school district to keep funded. And you know what? People put their vote where their mouths were, because while Donald Trump won, all of his numbers went up in every state except Door County, or every county except Door County. But what also happened in many of those same counties, local folks voted to raise their own taxes to support their local public school. So as Tip O'Neill said, late great Speaker of the House, Democrat, all politics is local. If you make it local, you win. And that's what Jeff Wright is doing, is saying, look, as a local superintendent, I can't, yes, I'm a Democrat. I'm running, you know, he ran for assembly as a Democrat. Technically, this is nonpartisan, but he supported. By the way, Jeff Wright endorsed by the teachers. He's saying, look, I'm a Democrat, but I've learned through action I have to work with everyone. Doesn't matter whether I voted for Harris or Trump. I have to work to make sure our public schools in Sauk Prairie work. And I think that Wisconsinites are just hungry for that right now. Look, I don't care, give a crap who you vote for at the top of the ticket, but take care of our kids. Take care of our public schools. And so that's why I just like Jeff Wright's message. Now, Dr. Underly has certainly done a lot for our schools, for our kids. I think I've talked about this before. I think the political mistake she made was saying she wanted the whole $4 billion surplus for education. That's just an overreach. And she called out again Governor Evers over the weekend, saying that he misunderstood testing, which I find weird, because Governor Evers held the same position she does and was reelected 3 times to that. Back after this, more of the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Locally grown radio, WFHR. I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. Believe it or not, it is once again time for Wisconsinites to head to the polls and vote. I know, we all have a bit of election fatigue after 2024, but the spring election primary is coming up on Tuesday, February 18th. One race that will be on every ballot statewide for the spring primary is for state superintendent. Incumbent Jill Underle is seeking another term, and two candidates are challenging her. Jeff Wright, superintendent for Sauk Prairie Schools, and Brittany Kinzer, an education consultant and former charter school executive. Kinzer's candidacy, in particular, is gaining steam. Her campaign reported raising more than $500,000, far more than what Underle or Wright have brought in. With that type of financial support, this could prove to be a more competitive race for state superintendent than what we've seen in quite some time. This is becoming a real race to watch.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area and on our website at civicmedia.us.
Hey there, it's Carrie Joy with your Work Money Minute. Today, I'm going to connect the idea of imagining yourself being good at money with my favorite academic research paper ever, which is about shooting free throws. Basketball. Stay with me. The study had one group of players practice their free throws every day for an extra 2 hours, and then another group of players imagining themselves practicing free throws for the same amount of time every day. The researchers called this simulated mental practice. The research showed that the mental practice, without any actual physical execution, improved their free throw shooting more than just going through the motions. I'm not saying that imagining yourself good with money will suddenly make you a gazillionaire, or imagining that free throw shooting is going to make you Damian Lillard, but both can help. For more practical money tips, visit workmoney.org. Till next time, this is Carrie Joy saying, take good care.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR.
Truth wherever it may lead and having fun doing it. Welcome back to the Tunnel Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. It is now 9 before the hour of 2 o'clock. Coming up in hour 2, what's worse, a post-Valentine edition. Now, if you are with us on Friday, Zomers is off, and Sam, who has a significant other, he had a big trip up north, and so you had a romantic evening with your girlfriend the week before.
That's right, yeah.
What a guy. What a guy. Now, I think I probably know the answer to this, but I'm going to ask it anyway, if you don't mind. Are you guys into public displays of affection?
I mean, I guess. I don't know if we do a ton, but.
Like holding hands kiss, that's one thing.
Yeah, sure.
But are you gonna sit in a park bench and just, you know, make out?
No, probably not.
Probably not. So that's part of the subject of what's worse. It has to do with public displays of affection.
Okay.
So
okay.
We'll talk about that because you see a lot of this on Valentine's weekend. I didn't. I stayed inside and had leftovers by myself. That was my romantic Valentine's weekend. But anyway, what's worse coming up in hour number 2, and we'll talk a little bit about the Badgers' big win over Purdue basketball wise, and the terrible call the officials made against Wisconsin. Wisconsin at home tomorrow night against Illinois. You can hear that game on many of the Civic Media radio networks. Right now we're talking about the race for Department of Public Instruction. Coming up, yes, there's an election tomorrow on Tuesday, February 18th, the primary for Department of Public Instruction. Also, I talked a little bit earlier about I've worked for both the federal and the state government. And I say I've seen some waste in government, that it is there. And Tom, listening on WMDX in Jackson, says, hey, Todd, what waste did you see? Probably one of the, I'll give you the short version. I worked for former Congressman Scott Klug, who they created a bipartisan, they called it a gang of 7, Republicans, Democrats. And they looked at government waste. It used to be, there used to be a House of Representatives post office. In other words, a post office that only served the House of Representatives. It was located in the Capitol. And so what Congress people would do of both parties is they would take their office expenditures, money, taxpayer money, to run their office. and they would have their staff go down and buy, say, $500 worth of stamps or $1,000 worth of stamps to send, quote unquote, constituent letters back home. Fine. Then they would take those stamps up. Then the Congress people, not everybody, but some, would say, you know what? We don't need those stamps anymore. Just take them back down and get cash for it. And then they would get cash, and these congressmen were taking taxpayer money and getting thousands of dollars off of it. You know, pretty good gig. So my former boss, Scott Klug, and get this, John Boehner was a freshman at the time, went on to be Speaker of the House, and a couple of Democrats, they introduced a bill. They got it through. Bill Clinton signed it, and they closed the House bank. And guys like Democrat Ross Tinkowski, I think it was Democrat of Illinois, got sent to prison over it. And so that's the type, I mean, there were and are problems in government. Don't get me wrong. But to throw the baby out with the bathwater, I just don't think it's right. 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. Tom in L.A., out in Los Angeles. Tom, always a pleasure. What say you? L.A. Tom, are you there?
Did you say me? I'm sorry.
Oh, it's fine. It's fine. You're up, my friend.
I'm so sorry about that.
No worries.
Okay, so I am all for everything being audited.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it's a private corporation or it's we the people government, what I'm not for is falling into this trap that the Republicans set, which is called waste, fraud, and abuse, when all they're doing is trying to get rid of we the people essential services, so therefore they can give Elon, another tax break, yeah, or give Widow Hendricks another tax break.
100%.
This is ridiculous. If you have some problems, like I said, I don't want us to fall into that trap of saying, oh yeah, there's waste, fraud, and abuse. Well, you know what? There isn't every private corporation. There isn't everything that's out there. There is. And the thing is, like with this stamp thing you were talking about, it doesn't sound like the program was the problem. It sounds like the people that were abusing the program was the problem. And I think that's part of it. I'm a small business owner, and I don't like it when things, when there's different types of regulations and things like that make things a little bit slower. But as I'm getting older, as I'm understanding the government more, there is a purpose for it to be a little bit slower.
Mm.
And I'm starting to come around to that where I'm like going, all right, maybe it frustrates me, but maybe there's a reason behind it going slow. Right. And just like government goes slow because we have three branches of government. I mean, right now we only have one, but we have three branches of government. The whole idea is balance of power and to go make things go slowly.
Right.
So I would just really, really encourage people to not fall into the trap of just saying waste, fraud, and abuse, because yes, there is everywhere, but this is a totally different animal, because this is all about the billionaires getting a tax cut so they can offset the cost somehow and justify it to the American people that, hey, yeah, we're saving money here.
Right.
But no, you're not. You're basically doing a bank heist, and you're doing it right in front of us.
To your point, Katie Sandlin, and she posted this on Twitter X over the weekend herself. She is formerly with the Education Outreach Specialist with the National Institute of Health. Her job included, I believe I'm saying this right, genomics, bioinformatics, insulin signaling, and web design. And she, along with 2,000 other National Institute of Health employees over the weekend, were told to clear out their offices. My sister has type 1 diabetes. More research on insulin, helping people understand how to use insulin, kind of life-saving stuff. But Trump threw them out. Great call, Tom. Appreciate it. Come on back, hour number two. What's worse? Are you into PDA? We'll explain on the other side.
This is locally grown radio, WFHR. Jane Mattner and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, many Democrats wondering, what are our elected officials doing to push back? Representative Mark Pocan joins us. We'll ask. Don't miss it.
Mattner on air, weekday mornings at 10.
The Morning Show on WFHR. It's serious comedy.
Blue Monday has been a thing ever since a British psychologist came up with it 20 years ago.
Today is a day to rewrite the lyrics to Blue Christmas.
Yes, yes, yes.
I'll have a Blue Monday when it's cold.
Nice, nice. That is my new favorite thing.
Yes.
Right there. That was awesome.
See you in the bumpers.
Weekdays from 8 to 10, right here on Locally Grown Radio.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us. This is Locally Grown Radio. WFHR 1320 AM. W248DE Wisconsin Rapids. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. The Secretary of State leads a U.S. delegation for talks with Russia on Ukraine and Saudi Arabia. CBS's Lane Cobb says in Paris,
European leaders are meeting to hammer out a way forward, furious that President Trump arranged talks with Russia that exclude them and Ukraine.
North Texas is about to get its coldest temperatures of the winter. Governor Greg Abbott.
Some wind chills may be as low as zero or even minus zero.
It's now 11 people dead after torrential downpours and weekend flooding in Kentucky, where there is a state of emergency. The president's cost cutter is hitting many government agencies, including the CDC and other health workers. Illinois Democrat Dick Durbin.
They want to cut back on medical research in America. For God's sake, for what? For tax breaks for the wealthy.
Pope Francis remains hospitalized with respiratory infection. The Vatican says protocols are changing and he'll remain hospitalized for the time being. CBS News Brief, I'm Peter King.
James.